Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Blessed, highly flavored. Praise God. Are you warm? Are you hot? Are you on fire for Jesus? Yeah, to God be the glory. Was that a great video? But such talent, you know, putting that together. I mean, man, powerful. What an anointing. Would you turn to Matthew 10? I'll never forget that video, I'll tell you. Praise God. Amen. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, Jesus was speaking to his disciples. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Amen. Amen. You know, the word discipline is associated with disciple. Amen. He says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." He wasn't fooling around. He was saying, "Listen, this is what's happening. I'm going to send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils, scourge you in their synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry." Do not what?
Worry.
Do not what?
Worry.
Worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you or through you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and father his children, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For surely I say to you, will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper of coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. This is a mission that Jesus sent his disciples out. And he explained it. Here it is. This is it. This wraps it all up and tells you exactly what's going on in your life. The purpose of what's happening. Why things happen. It tells you everything. He already told us way ahead of time what would happen, what would occur, even how it would occur. And he kept reminding us over and over, don't fear, don't worry, don't fear, don't worry. These are the things that are going to happen. Don't fear, don't worry, constantly. And then he said something very powerful. He said, I came to bring you a sword. For what? To fight. So that you can resist these things. See, in the natural eye, in the natural carnal man, for him to read this, he would say, this is impossible. To mortal people, it's impossible. We are not mortal, we are eternal. See, the enemy always wants to place you in a mortal reality. But the day you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you became eternal. The enemy always wants to take your identity and keep you in a mortal state of being, in a carnal state of being. And God is always trying to bring us into that place, the identity of living from the future and not from the past. This would actually seem like a mission impossible, wouldn't it? Everyone say, mission impossible. It's the name of tonight's teaching, mission impossible. It's a mission that seems impossible. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Is everybody there? In verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now that seems impossible. Honey, put it lower. The lowest. Thank you. Okay, and push it down. So, thank you. So it doesn't flip my pages. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That seems like wild. You know, people still don't understand that you're a new creation in Christ and old things have passed away. They only know you as the old. They don't know you as the new. So they're still waiting for the old to react, and they can't comprehend when the new responds. They erase that immediately. They don't want to accept that. When you do something and they say, oh, great job, you say, to God be the glory. They're like, no, you did that. God, it wasn't God that did that. And you want to slap them in the head, and you don't, because you're not going to react. You're going to respond. Even though you may think you're an idiot, but you don't say that unless the Lord leads you to. It says, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry of what? Reconciliation. So you and I are on a mission that seems to be impossible. And the message is reconciliation. Amen. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are what? We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, God recognizes us as ambassadors of his kingdom. We are ambassadors to the kingdom of God. You were not elected, you were chosen. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now that's phenomenal. That would be like very impossible. That is just impossible without something supernaturally happening to me and you. And that can be only established and created by the Creator who made us. That's it. Only the Creator that made me and you could make us again. That's just overwhelming. Can make us again. What do you mean you're made again? Yes, I am brand new. I'm brand new. You're brand new. Every day we're going from new to new to new. What you knew don't matter no more. You're brand new now. Amen. So we are ambassadors with a message of reconciliation. Who could figure that out? 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 1, would you read it with me? You therefore, my son, be what? Strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You know, in the world, you got to go through all kinds of college to become a teacher. In the kingdom, you just need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the anointing teaches through us. You don't need a degree to teach. Amen? Amen. Verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So there's something that's needed, endurance, isn't there? It says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules of engagement. These are the areas of integrity, kingdom integrity. Amen. So we are called here soldiers, and we battle according to the rules of engagement with integrity. Listen, we're ambassadors, we're soldiers, we're teachers. We have the gifts of the Spirit with tools to operate according to the things of the Spirit. We have a language that can speak directly to God Almighty. We have the mind of Christ. We have the anointing. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We are more than conquerors. But in this arena that you and I have been sent into this world to fulfill a mission, it would seem impossible. It seems impossible because naturally it is impossible. I'll never forget when I first went into a service, when somebody asked me to come into a service, I had no idea that God could change my life because I never knew him. I didn't know the power of Christ. And the only thing I knew about was religion. I didn't know the supernatural. I didn't think God was supernatural until my life changed. But it wasn't something that I did. Because in the world, everybody tries to change their life. But it's impossible to change your life. Not without the Creator recreating you again in this realm by being born again of the Spirit. We are a new creation in Christ in the anointing. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That seems like an impossible thing, but it is possible. It is tangible. It is a reality that occurs in an individual's life. People get healed, freed from drugs and alcohol, freed from fears and anxieties, free from all. That's his main purpose, was to set the captives free from the entanglements and affairs of this world. Because the ministry is reconciliation. Reconciliation back to who we were from the beginning, before we came. That's the whole purpose. But see, the powers of darkness always are influencing us, trying to keep us and mislead us, trip us up, get us back into our own strength. So many have started in the Spirit and gone back to the flesh and lost what they had and became fear of man instead of reverence to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, hallelujah, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, would you read it with me? For you see your what? Your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Hello. You know, so many times in the world, you have to qualify for something. Amen? In the kingdom, you had to be a real idiot to qualify for something. We are out there, man. You know what I'm saying? We did everything wrong. That was qualification by God. Look at that one. He's way out there. That one, out. That one. There goes Guy. Oh, my God. Get him. He's qualified. He's on his, man, one more step, he's in hell. He's qualified. He's an idiot. That's the one that's qualified, yes. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, the righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So we see our calling that he chose us who were foolish, ridiculous, lost, boneheads out there. You know, I'll never forget that. When I When I would be watching TV in the carnal realm, I'd see these Christian stations or whatever once in a while. I'd call them religious stations or whatever they were. And I'd see weird people on there. Gosh. You know, I'd think, man, no backbone. And they'd have funny hairdos. I'd think, whoa, what is this? You know? I mean, this is how I used to think in the world. I thought, how can these be people of God? Now I know why. Because he chose the foolish to confound the wise. Hello? I mean, come on. Every one of us would never think that we would be a man or woman of God. Never would have thought. You can ask my wife. She don't ever thought I would have been. Anyway. You are called with a call, purpose, and destiny. Not because you can follow and serve. Again, because we were idiots and lost. We were examples of worldly lustafarians. To become changed, we became jewels for Christ. He grabbed us and he crushed us so that we could walk out of his heart and then walk out of his hand and be like him. He rescued us with his love, a love that we never knew before. It was different than any other kind of love. And he put us in his hand and he crushed us like coal to become diamonds where we are transparent. So they don't see us, they see him. That is a miracle. We are miracles from the hand of God because he chose me and you to be a sign and wonder and a miracle. Not because we did, but because he did. He gave us every opportunity to call out on his name. And when we did, he rescued us. Then he says, okay, now learn. What? Learn what? Learn the impossibles. Why? He says, because I'm going to change the impossible to possible. Never let the word I can't interfere with your life. Never. When you say I can, it's because you rely on your own strength. You haven't taken your eyes off of you then. Why? Because you and I have been sent on a mission impossible according to the carnal arena. Matthew 19. Matthew 19 and verse 25. Start at 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, surely I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, who can be saved then? But Jesus looked at them, and he said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. With men, it is impossible. Listen, nobody could, my family and friends, no way ever would have thought I would change. I didn't think I could change. I figure I just might as well end this life because I ain't changing and I'm not doing myself any good or anyone else. But God had a plan. He ended my life and gave me a new one. What was impossible became possible in him. All things are possible in him, not in us. When things are impossible, it's because we're looking at what we can do, how we can do it, and calculate it. And God is trying to get us out of the impossibilities to the possibilities in him. Because there's so much more for me and you. And the area of fear and limitations prevent us from getting to that place. In Matthew 17, in verse 19. Let's go to 17. 17:17. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring that demonized individual to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon. And it came out of the man and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, man, what's up? How could we not cast it out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief, because of your doubt, because you were relying on you, it made it impossible. But when you rely on me, it makes everything possible. Does everybody get it? See, even when people are casting out devils, sometimes they try to think of it as it's them. It isn't us. Paul said something very powerful. He says, my spirit serves the Lord. The demons are not cast out because of us. They're cast out because of the Spirit of God that lives in us. We're just cooperating with his desire to rescue someone from demonization. And in his name, there is the authority of connection between heaven and the natural realm. So when you speak it, it flows. Doubt, unbelief, fear will hinder. In Luke 22, mission impossible. No way. Luke 22:39. Now, there's something that Jesus did say. He says, you know, sometimes these things don't come out without prayer and what? Fasting. Now, let me share something with you. Prayer is what connects. Fasting is what separates from the world. So we come out from the world. Fast from the world, he said. Fast from the world and connect. Why? Because then your faith will increase. Faith is vision. Then you'll be able to see it all the way through. You won't see you. You'll see him. Hallelujah. Matthew 22, or Luke, thank you. Luke 22, it's just for you. And something, where are we going? 30-something? 39. And Jesus coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as it was accustomed, and his disciples also followed. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into what? In other words, get connected. Get connected. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed himself, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Now, that's pretty wild. Because this is probably the weakest point of Christ's life. That he said, Dad, you know, if there was another way we could do this. But then he stopped. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. I want you to understand something, that angels come and strengthen us. Just because you don't see them, they come. Did you ever notice that in a worship service? Who do you think brings the presence of God? Angels from the throne room of God bring that fresh presence in here. When they come in here, the presence of God just overflows. And you get what? Strengthened. It's like, whoa. And you get drunk. And you get rejoiced. You get refreshed. Why? Because we just made connection with home again. God's presence is home. So what he's saying, listen, he gave us the power. Look at Jesus came. And what did he say? He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. What was he saying? Man, this mission is impossible. He's saying this mission is impossible. But let me pray a little bit more and we'll make it possible. Let me connect a little bit more. Let me humble myself a little bit more. And then an angel came and strengthened him. His faith increased. The presence of God increased. And he was more than a conqueror. But see, he gave us this example. You know, too many people run instead of running to the presence of God. Instead of running to prayer, they run to everything else. You know what they run to? Their emotion. Then the emotion releases a false desire. It's a deceptive desire. And it sways a person out of their way. Every service, before service, you will have an emotion that will come to you and say, I'm tired. You'll have an excuse that will come to you, I'm too busy. You know how many people didn't come tonight because of that? Well, we got a lot of things to prepare for. It's Christmas. But don't you think God's presence is a better preparation than anything? You know why? Carnal. We got a bunch of Christmas shopping to do. So I applaud you for coming tonight and watching. Hallelujah. You didn't get deceived or overcome. You stood fast. And you do what was right before God. Do you know that one of the greatest things that pleased God, and I've had to learn this myself, is when I don't feel like doing something and do it. You know, why? Because what you're doing is you're earning his trust. Can he trust someone that is led by their feelings? No. So if you're an overcomer of your feelings, you begin to earn God's trust. And he begins to release more things to you. Because he won't give you let me tell you, he'll hold back things. It's just like his children and our children. We won't give our children things that we can't trust them with. Same thing with that. Oh, hallelujah. The mission that seems impossible, huh? It's a mission of prayer. You know, people that are not, they refuse to assemble except for when they feel like it. If they went to prayer and really heard, they'd be convicted. The Lord would say, get off your butt, get in there. Get your eyes off of yourself and your circumstances. And get your eyes on me. What in his presence is what? Fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our what? Strength. That's why people get swayed and deceived easy. That's why they're up and down. They're unstable. Because they're not relying on him. They're still relying on themselves. Our expectations come from the throne room of God, don't they? Everything comes from him. Go to John 19. So a mission that seems impossible is overcome by the prayer or the mission prayer. So it's our very, very vitally important that we go to prayer. Doesn't the Bible say, be anxious for nothing but what? Prayer. Doesn't the word say, acknowledge me in all of your ways and I will what? Guide your paths. Establish your steps. Commit to me your works. I'll establish your thoughts. Everything is a connection. Without connecting and maintaining that connection. See, now we can come here and still not connect. So that's where Daniel is the wonderful example of prayer. The angel came to him. What did the angel say to him? Listen, the moment you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself, we heard you. And I was sent immediately on your behalf. How many of y'all want angels to be sent immediately on the behalf of your prayers? Well, that means that you must set your heart to understand. Understand what? Understand who he is and who you are in him. You are understanding the supernatural, the things that seem impossible, the deaths that seem impossible, the circumstances of your life that seem... Listen, when I... After my visitation from the Lord, I was still out on bail. I had to go to court. I was facing a 4-year mandatory minimum sentence. There was no way out of it. Been sentenced to life and got busted with guns and dope again. I had to do 4 years in prison. I was involved in morning prayer, man. I stayed close. I stayed close to fellowship. I stayed close as possible. Why? So my faith would stay. So I wouldn't get swayed by what they got to offer me. What they got to tell me. Why? Because that's of the world, and I'm not from the world. I'm from the throne room of God now. And all of heaven is behind me as long as I stay connected. And when the Lord is your attorney, hallelujah, I went in that courtroom and walked out free from all their jewelry. From a 4-year mandatory prison term, I got probation. Of course, I didn't care about probation. They didn't plan on doing anything wrong anymore. I was a new creation in Christ. I had a public pretender. But then I got the true one. See, they tried to give me something, but God used whomever. But I'm telling you that there's a difference. I stayed connected no matter what it was. I was up in the morning praying, Lord. And I wasn't even praying about my court case. I would just give it to him. I was after him now. You know what I was saying? Lord, your will be done. You want to send me to prison? Okay, just give me the Bibles. Give me what I need. No problem. I'll tell everybody about you wherever you send me. I didn't know he was going to restore my wife. I didn't know he was going to restore my home that was taken in foreclosure. I didn't know he was going to restore my furniture. I had nothing. I had cardboard boxes. I lost it all. Everything. No money, no nothing. No groceries, no running water, nothing. No electricity. I had an extension cord running from the next door neighbor. He felt sorry for me because it was stinking cold outside. He said, man, use the heater. You know, it's hard to imagine that in my life because you weren't there. But she was there. And there was other mom was there. But I was gone. Foolish idiot. But God took this vessel and turned it into an example of his character, his love. Crushed coal turned into a diamond. And I'm a special jewel to him. And that's what we are. We are special jewels to him. Precious. Very precious. But the enemy wants to play with us in every way. Every way. But instead of running to the phone, run to the throne. Quit trying to fix your way out of something and let him fix it. It's so much easier, too. And it does assist you in dying to yourself. And he loves the death of his saints. Hallelujah. Did I say go somewhere, John 19? All right, I'm getting there. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah! Glory. Oh, now, verse 30. Read it with me. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is what? It is finished. And bowing his head down, he gave up his spirit. It is finished. Now, I want you to grab hold of something. When Jesus said it was finished, it was completed. He finished the time allotted to him. Everything was according to God's will, according to God's time. But in that time allotted to him, he accomplished what he had to. See, we have a time that's been allotted to us. And so many times people go home without accomplishing what they were supposed to. So there's a difference. So there's it. In other words, you and I have been designated to do a work. Amen? And in that work, we want to complete. We want to establish. We want to accomplish that work in a time allotted to us. Amen? So in that, so many times, what the enemy knows is that even though in that time, because in his will is his time, but there's still a cooperation in that where we must accomplish the work that we were sent to do. So that's one of the things the enemy is hot on, preventing us from accomplishing the work so that time is wasted and the time allotted comes up and then you go home, but the work wasn't completed. Now, that would seem like a mission impossible, wouldn't it? But it really isn't. It's a mission that is possible, but it's possible only by making that connection all the time. It's that area where we don't allow fear to move us, worry to move us. It's that area where you and I must endure no matter what happens. Everything is a training and learning process to be put into action. Why? So that you can accomplish the work that God sent you into this realm to do. In Revelation chapter 2, many people finish the time but not accomplish the work. Did you hear that? Many people what? Finish the time but don't accomplish the work. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation 2 and verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your what? Your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my namesake and have not become weary. Sounds like a good place. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the what? First works. In other words, they have fallen out of God's time and they have fallen away from the work that they were supposed to accomplish. So he says, you have left your first love. That's the relationship, getting in God's time. And in that time, there is a work that must be accomplished. And he says, you need to repent for that so you can get back in. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you what? Repent. Again, there are many out there who are not accomplishing the work in the allotted time. So they're finishing the time and going home, but the work's not completed. Hebrews 10. And I got to share with you that, again, it always goes back to the abiding. It always goes back to that abide. Look at how many times we get together and we're reminded, refreshed, trained on something. Something's exposed to the enemy. Something's exposed in our life. Something that we maybe lack or whatever it may be. Where God is always trying to bring it up. What's he always trying to do? He's trying to keep our identity with him. He's always trying to keep us connected. He's always trying to cause us to see things all the way through. He's always trying to bring us to that place of self-examination. He wants us to live a life that he lived, but in another arena. In Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 35, you know, he came from heaven to earth to show the way, right? His mission seemed impossible. In fact, at one moment, he thought it might have been. Your mission may seem impossible. And there are days when you think, I just can't go on any further. You know, the enemy wants to get you in a place where you just give up. You become discouraged. You become weary. When that happens, you're like a beacon. Beep, 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 beep. You're a bullseye. It says, you know, red light special. You know, you get smiley face slapped on your head. There's a meal. Hebrews 10:35. For you have need of what? Therefore, do not what? Cast away your what? Confidence. Not your confidence in yourself. Your confidence in him. What does it mean? That he's faithful when I'm faithless. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Now, wait a minute. Remember, we talked about God's will being God's time. So if you completed God's time, what is he saying? You accomplish the work. Then you receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. By what? That's vision. Vision. Faith is vision. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. Endurance. 2 Peter chapter 1. For we are in need of endurance. Why? Because the mission seems impossible. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Would you read it with me? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly and great precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Through lust. Now, in other words, that divine nature is associated with the anointing, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. So he's saying this, that not only you're needing endurance, but you're going to need the knowledge and the anointing. The knowledge and the anointing. What? To make this mission possible. So that you can accomplish the work and the time allotted to us. In Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. Hallelujah. In verse 12. Started 11. Paul said, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be what? Whatever state I'm not, he didn't mean country state, you know, didn't mean whether in Florida or he meant state of being. So whatever state of being I am in, no matter what happens, the things that are going around me, whether I'm being afflicted, whether I am in joy, I find myself to always step out of that and maintain an area of content. So I'm not looking at what I don't have. I look at what I have. And if I have him, I have everything. It's when I don't have him that I'm in lack. See, when that connection is severed or stretched or drifted, you lack. We lack. What do we lack? We lack confidence. We lack endurance. We lack faith. We lack peace. We lack joy. All of these things we will begin to lack because it's long-distance relationship. When that drift begins to come, because that's what the enemy wants, lack will instantly be manifested. You will see it. You will sense it. And if you don't see it, your neighbor sees it or your spouse sees it. Or... Amen? Okay. Now, what does he say now in verse 12? I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through what? Christ, the anointing who what? Strengthens me. So he makes every impossibility possible in Christ. Every impossibility possible, no matter what it is, in Christ. And that connection. Why? Because that connection is your lifeline. When we're stretching that connection, when there's holes in that connection, we begin to lack. Again, we begin to lack faith, confidence, endurance. We begin to lack. And other things begin to creep in. Fear, weariness, oppression, heaviness, discouragement. All of these things begin to creep in. Why? Because your relationship is being stretched. Not close the way we should be. In 1 Timothy chapter 6. Abide, 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 abide. He who abides in him, he abides in them. Forsake not to assemble. You know, you think people would learn that by now. It's amazing to me. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. But you, O man or woman of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Is everybody with me? Fight the what? Good fight of what? Faith. Remember, faith is vision. One of the things the enemy wants to do is always steal vision. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things before Christ Jesus who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only Pontinent, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who also has immortality, dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Fight the good fight of what? Faith. Faith is vision. Faith can only maintain and be established through connection. Faith comes by hearing in the what? Hearing the word or hearing the voice of God. Hearing the what? Voice of God. You know, there's people I know that know the scriptures inside and out, and they don't have no faith. In fact, there's carnal people out there that have read the, they've both, yeah, I've read the Bible six times. Nothing ever happened to me. Oh, it will. Hallelujah. The word says that it is impossible to please God without faith. Come on. It's impossible to please him without faith. Remember, faith is vision. Vision comes from relationship. This is not a memorization. It's a visualization. Illumination is visualization also. Revelation is visualization. That's why we're to see things through. Even when you pray, you see things through. You see it. You're not just throwing words out there. You see it. And as the Holy Spirit leads you, you're attacking things. Why? Because you see it. He brings a name and a face. He brings a name and a face or a face and a name. He brings a location and a name. Everything. Boom, boom, boom. You see it. But see, if you're not setting your heart to understand and humble yourself, then it really isn't connection. And you're just throwing words out there in hope. Gosh, I hope God hears this. Says he hears all, sees all, knows all. Then the mission becomes impossible. The only way to break impossible is through the anointing and your relationship by faith. Faith brings vision. Is everybody okay? Hebrews 12. Hebrew 12, starting at verse 1. You know, why are we talking about Mission Impossible? Because Jesus came in on a mission that would seem to be impossible. And again, at one split second, he thought it might have been. He asked if it could change, but he stopped himself. Why? Because he put on flesh. He had to know and all the temptations. He had to absorb everything that you and I go through. He could not say, all right, now you can do this and you can do that, if he didn't go through it himself. He had to take everything, every kind of temptation, be accused of everything, so that he could give me and you the divine power to overcome everything, the anointing. See, there is really no excuse. We try to make an excuse. We try to look for an excuse, but there really is an excuse. Christmas shopping ain't an excuse. Tiredness isn't an excuse. How many times have you come, you didn't feel well, but you could? But I'll tell you what, if somebody called you up and said, you had a $100,000 check at the store for you, you'd have ran there without the car, even if it didn't start. See, that's how you check yourself. Let's see, if I got a call, I better go to church. Just check yourself on that. Yes. Verse 1. Hebrew 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Hello. How many of y'all know what? The devil puts weights on you, man. All these burdens. Get rid of them. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us when we're long distance. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our what? Faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, thank God, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son and daughter, do not despise the correction or the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son, or crushes whom he receives. If you endure the crushing, God deals with you as sons and daughters. For what son or daughter is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Whoa. Again. Born again from his heart, we've come from his heart to his hand. Coal being crushed, becoming a diamond that's transparent so they see him and not you or me. Romans 8. Mission impossible. Not anymore. All missions are possible. Romans 8:27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? To God be the glory. James 2. Hallelujah. James chapter 2. Is everybody there? Verse 14. James 2, verse 14. Yes. Would you read it? What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have what? Works. Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus, also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. In other words, vision will produce works. Because when you see what you're supposed to do, you do it. But someone will say to you, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man or woman, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith is vision. God speaks, you see. That's faith. Then you move. God speaks, you see it, you move. 2 Timothy 4. And then one more scripture. Confirmation. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Is everybody all right? Are you getting this? We want to accomplish the work and the time allotted. And we're going to need vision, faith. We're going to need endurance. Got to maintain that connection. We got to abide. And none of these things will be manifested. Verse 6. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. Everybody there? For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knew he was getting ready to go home. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the what? The faith or the what? Vision. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And I want to close at 1 John 3. I have fought. See, you're battling to maintain connection, to maintain vision, so that you can endure and overcome. You're battling. Remember, we are called to battle, aren't we? If you're not battling, there's no way you're going to overcome. It just won't work. Why? Because you can't submit to God then and resist the devil. 1 John 3. Is everybody there? All glory. In verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope, which is future faith, in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now that is powerful. That's all it is vision in the future. Vision in the future. Your mission is not impossible. Only in a mortal sense is it impossible. But we are not mortal. We are what? Eternal. So if we are eternal, don't let the precepts of human nature and the traditions of the world deceive you. Things have been handed down tradition to tradition to tradition, where man relies on man and not God. And all of these things must be broke. We've got to come out of it. The Lord has been stirring things in my spirit. I'm waiting for a release from the throne room for a word for 2015. And it's coming. And I know that there's a tremendous change getting ready to happen. So don't let your mission be impossible. Let it be possible through Christ who strengthens you. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let the seed be protected by the blood of Jesus, and let it grow and bear fruit for your glory. And let it be so implanted in us that it not only be mixed with faith to see all the way through, but with the works of obedience for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.